you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
She'll be coming back round the mountain. Here she comes, here she comes. She'll be coming back round the mountain. Here she comes, here she comes. She'll be coming back round the mountain. She'll be coming back round the mountain. She'll be coming back round the mountain. Here she comes, here she comes.
Woohoo! Nice job.
I think we should acknowledge that we know that's not the actual words of the song, but it's the closest we could get to background in the lyrics.
Exactly. What's up, everyone? You're watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
Background time.
Background breakdown time. Yeah, so Commander Legends Baldur's Gate, it is here. And we got a new partner variant, I think it's fair to call it, right?
Yep, Commander Legends, the original one, had the original partners sort of with them. And now we've got new partners, except this is like a variant, and it's very similar to Friends Forever, if you remember that.
I'd say if partners and Friends Forever and partner with, like, had a menage a trois and had a baby, then they would kind of, this background screen is sort of what might come out of that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because it feels like you're creating a character in Dungeons & Dragons, but more importantly, you're going to be able to pick a legendary creature, pick a background to go with it, as long as it says choose a background, and then blam, we've got a new commander combination, and there are a lot of them. So we're going to be breaking down that today on the show, as well as talking about some of our favorite background combinations and what we might bring to the battlefield.
Yeah, it's supposed to kind of harken to like D&D character creation, right? Like you choose your character, and then your character's not exactly like everybody else's character of the same class because you have different backgrounds and stats and stuff. Yeah, before we get into it though, if you want to get a hold of these background commanders or the backgrounds themselves or anything from Commander Legends Baldur's Gate or any magic card basically ever, channelfireball.com/command. That's the place to go to get all of your magic products, singles, anything at all. You can order all the Commander Legends stuff. You can catch up on Strixhaven or anything else, Neon Dynasty in the past that maybe you haven't gotten your hands on yet. And Channel Fireball really is the best place with their marketplace to buy your magic cards, especially sealed product. I've found that they have really, really great prices on sealed products because on other services, there's a bunch of individuals that are selling singles. But on Channel Fireball's marketplace, it's all LGSs. It's all licensed businesses, which means they're usually in the WPN network with Wizards. They get good prices from distributors on sealed product, and then they're competing with each other. So if you're buying booster boxes, bundles, collectors, boosters, channelfireball.com/command is the place to go.
Or just enter promo code command at checkout.
I always forget
that
part.
Super simple. Well, yeah, you gotta forget it at the beginning or
it's
the
ironic because I forget to say it, but also I forget to input the, yeah, okay.
Nice and simple. Once you get those cards, once you get that sealed product, you want to crack it open. You want to make sure that your foils and your cards and everything that you opened stays in pristine condition. So buy some Ultra Pro product. We're talking about sleeves, deck boxes, collector's boxes, every single thing that you need. Ultra Pro has made something to protect it or to put your cards into, packages on packages, containers on containers. Make sure you go to shop.ultrapro.com/command because they have a huge selection. I'm not kidding. A massive selection of stuff from Magic product all the way to their other franchises that they work with. If you want to get that playmat, if you want to get that deck box, and every single time a new set comes out, that's an entire new selection of products that's going to match the aesthetic that you want on your battlefield. That's our affiliate link, shop.ultrapro.com/command. Protect your cards. You need to do it. So why not do it with some of the best in the business?
Yeah. And speaking of Ultra Pro, we have something kind of exciting. Our first merchandise drop of the year, the Kickstarter, just started. And it's for a brand new playmat, which we are calling Before the Storm. Jimmy, I'll let you hold it up since mine's covered.
Ta-da!
So you can see, so you can see the artwork here. I'm sure we're showing it on screen if you're watching it on YouTube. It's really, really cool wrestling art in a different style than we've kind of done before.
Yeah, it's by the artist Fiona Xie, who is a magic artist. She did a bunch of awesome stuff so far for Magic this year, like the Year of the Ox promo and the Year of the Rat Secret Lair. And so she brought her style to this. We're calling it Before the Storm, sort of that epic moment before things get even more epic. The quiet before the storm, the calm before the storm. And so it's on
or before you storm off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. It is available right now for a limited time only on Kickstarter. That's how we run all of our merchandise sales. Once the Kickstarter ends, you will never, ever be able to purchase this playmat ever again. So make sure you lock in your order. That link will be below in the show notes. And again, that's how the Kickstarter runs. You go in, you enter your pledge, you choose what you want, and then we collect your address afterwards. And that's it. Very simple process. And we send the playmats off to you. But you can only do it during this window period.
Yeah. Don't miss your chance. Once the Kickstarter is over, we always get emails saying, like, can I still buy it? And unfortunately, we make that promise. We just look at how many got sold on Kickstarter. We make that many, we send them out, then we never make it again.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to mention before we move on is that it is also the year of the tiger.
That's right.
And there is a really cool, like, lightning fire tiger on this piece. So, yeah, you definitely want to get your hands on it. It's
two tails, not just one.
One last thing we got to plug before we get into the main topic. It is Command Zone Live episode number 4, which at the release date of this episode that you're listening to is 2 days from now on the 16th of June. We're going to be sitting down with Jacob Bertrand, who is Hawk from Cobra Kai. You'll remember him from the Kaldheim episode of Game Nights. And we're going to be talking about Command Fests and Magic Live events, which are coming back, and sort of how best practices, I guess, to go about when you're going to attend one, how to get the most out of it, how to maximize your fun at those events, how to prepare for it.
We'll be coming right off of Command Zone Vegas, which is Jacob's first ever major Magic event, too.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great to hear his impression.
In fact, if you're watching this right now, when the day it came out, technically Command Fest Vegas is over, and Jimmy and I have already been to it.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was awesome.
It was fantastic. Absolutely. So great to see everyone. So good to just do so well at the craps table.
I'm sure it was awesome, but we haven't been yet. So, yeah. But you're in the future.
I'm trying to manifest it.
Okay. Yeah, so well at the craps table. Good call.
So well.
All right. Let's get into the main topic here. Background commanders from Baldur's Gate. So the new background mechanic, it offers a ton of possibilities for commanders, and today we're going to talk about the mechanic, how it works, and then some of our favorite picks for the pairings between, you know, commander and background that are sort of the most interesting to us.
Yeah, we could have gone through every single pairing,
but we have
no, actually we couldn't have. That was the lead up. Because there are so many, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of combinations. So instead, we're looking at a broader overview. And hopefully this will allow you, when you look at the cards yourself, to be able to understand, okay, this is how I want to build, and this is how I'm going to go about it strategically.
All right, let's start off with just talking about backgrounds in a general sense and how they work. So similar to Friends Forever, backgrounds are a variant of the partner mechanic. It's sort of like a self-contained ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
There are monocolored commanders from the set that have, in their rules text, the words choose a background, and then there are backgrounds, which are legendary enchantments, and you can kind of mix and match between those two. You cannot have two creatures that have choose a background. You have to have one creature, one enchantment. One says choose a background in it. One is a background.
Yeah, and it says you can have a background as a second commander. So it's for the first time, it's not a creature that also lives in the command zone, but it is a creature and then a background, which is the enchantment. So they come together as a pair. They're all monocolored, so that means you're only going to be able to make two color pairs out of this, or a monocolor.
Of course, you cannot pair a background with a creature, a legendary creature that does not say choose a background.
Yes, thank goodness.
Some people have asked that. Let's take an example here. Let's look at Jahira, Friend of the Forest, which is 2 and a green for a 2/3 legendary creature, human elf druid. It says tokens you control have tap, add a green. So all your tokens become mana dorks. And then it has choose a background. So you can pair Jahira with any of the backgrounds from the set. Let's pick Inspiring Leader here, just as an example. If we paired Jahira with Inspiring Leader, which is 2 and a white for a legendary enchantment background, it says commander creatures you own have creature tokens get +2/+2.
Ah, okay, so there's the synergy. You're building a token deck in green, white, and if it's a creature token, they additionally get +2/+2 from the background, and Jahira gives them tap, add a green mana.
So I think that strategy makes sense to probably most people listening to this show. You would make a bunch of tokens. At first, you would use the tokens to create mana to make more tokens. Then once you have enough, you use Inspiring Leader to now attack with them rather than tap them for mana. And that's kind of a token go-wide strategy, classic white-green thing we've seen a million times. Now, let's say we took Jahira, but instead...
No, we lose Jahira.
No, we took Jahira, and instead we pair her with, let's say, Popular Entertainer.
So instead of an Inspiring Leader, she's a Popular Entertainer. So Popular Entertainer is a different legendary enchantment background. This one is 1 and a red, and it says commander creatures you own have, whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, goad target creature that player controls. So goading makes that creature forced to attack, but not you that next turn. Their next turn.
So now you're in a green-red, not green-white. Mm-hmm. You're still tokens because Jahir wants tokens to create mana. And then instead of pumping your tokens, you're now a goad deck where you're trying to get through, maybe go wide around their defenses and go, you know, have some of your tokens connect and then goad yep. their creatures. Let's say now instead you've got the card Folk Hero with Jahira. Folk Hero is one in a white for a background, and it says legendary creatures you own have, whenever you cast a spell that shares a creature type with this creature, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn.
All right, and Jahira is a human elf druid, so that's three different creature types that you could cast something to draw a card.
So I would think this deck will probably have less tokens and would be relying on Jahira more for her creature types.
Yeah.
Because if you have to cast creature spells that share a type, usually token creators don't necessarily have that. Maybe an elf that comes in and makes a couple elves when it mm-hmm. enters or when it dies or something. But this is going to be more of a tribally focused deck than maybe the Inspiring Leader deck is or even the Popular Entertainer deck is. So I think you've still got Jahira in all three of those incarnations of the deck, but
yeah.
they're different. Some of them are different colors. Some of them are doing slightly different things, even though two of them are tokens. This kind of shows you, I think, what backgrounds can do. Now, let's say we switched out Jahira, but we kept Popular Entertainer, and let's say it was a Laura Merry Thief, which is
right.
two and a blue for a 3/2 halfling rogue. Whenever you attack up to one target attacking creature can't be blocked this turn, return that creature to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step.
All right, so this is like a weird red-blue deck where when you're attacking, you're saying, hey, this creature can't be blocked, and then Popular Entertainer says it's going to goad something, but it also bounces to your hand as a result. So maybe you're doing something in the unblockable world. Ninjas love to be bounced back to their hand so they can recast them again, although red-blue might not be the best ninja colors, but it allows you to say, oh, cool, I can see how this works together. Much more differently than Jahira, which is hitting them because you're swinging with five tokens. Instead, it's Alora swinging with one creature and allowing that to be unblockable.
Yeah, because Alora making it unblockable means you're definitely going to goad something of theirs. You can get value from the bounce, maybe their enter the battlefield effect to creatures. But also, when you ninjutsu, you could also ninjutsu in something new, and
yeah.
that's not going to get bounced because Alora didn't make that thing unblockable. So, yeah, maybe it's a ninja deck, maybe it's a value ETB of deck, but it's very different, even though it still has Popular Entertainer, super different from the Jahira version of that deck, right?
Yeah, a couple of notes. Jahira says tokens you control, so if you have Smothering Tithe out, you can make your treasure tokens additionally not have to sacrifice. They can just tap for that green mana.
Yep.
So that might be a different direction you go with Folk Hero. And then a lot of these cards notably say commander creatures you own. So you can't steal someone else's commander and then say, hey, this command creature I control has this text. No, it's specifically trying to only reference the card in your command zone.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I think you could see with these examples how mixing and matching the different abilities will create a ton of sort of modality to what you can put into the command zone, pairing different,
yeah.
you know, choose a backgrounds with their background enchantments. Okay, let's talk about the rules for backgrounds, because it's pretty straightforward, but I think there can be some confusion.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so some cards, usually the backgrounds themselves, refer to commander creatures. They don't refer to a background enchantment that is a commander, unless you could turn that enchantment into a creature, which we know, you know, especially white cards can
do. A lot of ways to do that, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a background would refer to itself, which is actually could be powerful.
Yeah, so if you're able to turn Inspiring Leader into a creature somehow, then you're actually going to get that effect twice, because it's going to be able to give it to itself. And give it to your commander. So your creatures will get +4/+4. It's a little long-winded, but it is a way to get around that idea.
Yeah, and definitely, if you're in white, something you might think about doing in all the white decks that include a background.
Mm-hmm.
Backgrounds are one of your commanders, like we just said. If a card refers to your commander, it applies to both the legendary creature and the background enchantment. This could make sense for something like Jeskha's Will, mm-hmm. Fierce Guardianship. And because backgrounds are enchantments, they're a little bit harder to get rid of, more often going to stick around. So I think that probably will matter when playing against background commanders, is like, I could get rid of all the creatures, but they can still, you know, get the benefit of having their commander out from certain cards.
Yeah, like Jeskha's Will.
Yep.
Another thing, too, is that the background doesn't just do its thing from the background. You need to have to cast it onto the battlefield. So it's not like Eminence and those older cards in Commander, where no matter what, if it's in the command zone, it does its thing. The backgrounds only have their abilities active when you cast it out of the command zone.
Yeah, or you could cast it, I guess, out of your hand or something, but it has to be on the battlefield.
Yeah, on the battlefield, yeah.
Yep, you do pay commander tax on your backgrounds, just like on your creature commanders. Again, they are your commander, so if they get destroyed, exiled, whatever, you can choose to put it in command zone, you can mm-hmm. recast it again you know, but you have to pay commander tax.
Yeah. Interestingly, cards like Command Beacon, which say tap, sacrifice Command Beacon, put your commander into your hand from the command zone. That can also count your enchantment.
Yep. You basically can do either one.
Yep.
Cards like Command Tower, and I think we alluded to this earlier, basically backgrounds, they do change your color identity of your deck. So cards like Command Tower will see the color of your background and take that into account. So if you have Jahira on Popular Entertainer, Command Tower can tap for green or red.
Yep. Cards like Fury Storm that say how many times you've cast your commander, similar to the partner commanders, if you cast both of them, that counts as twice, because again, it's casting your commander, even though it's not a creature.
Yeah, if a card refers to how many times you've cast your commander this game, it will tally up the amount of times you've cast both of them combined.
Yeah, so again, those cards are a little bit better in these decks in the same way that they're better in partner decks as well.
Just like partners, these cards count towards your 100 cards in your deck. So if you have a choose a background commander and a background, you have 98 cards in your deck.
Yep, and they are basically just like partners. The only thing is, again, it's a closed ecosystem. So it's similar to Friends Forever, right? Unless it has the text choose a background on it, it will never interact with these backgrounds. And these backgrounds will never interact with any creature unless that creature says choose a background on it.
And then finally, you can play the backgrounds in any commander deck, and there are lots of backgrounds that have similar themes to existing archetypes. That means you can put them in the 99 if they match the color identity. You do not have to put them in the command zone.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's a token deck. Maybe you're going to want to put this in there. But we'll talk a little bit more about that later and whether or not we think it's actually worth it, in slash if there are even any that are, you know, super good, because some of them get a little worse when you have to draw it on turn 8 and you go, well, this isn't great.
Basically, when they start in your command zone, the backgrounds, just think of them like partner commanders. I think that's the easiest way to go. And in almost every way, they function the same way. They just happen to be an enchantment.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I think a lot of people are asking, and I thought at first, is like, why not just have these be partners? They did that last time for Commander Legends.
Mm-hmm.
Why create like a whole new mechanic? They already have Friends Forever. They could have these be Friends Forever. That'd be weird. I get that there's a flavor reason, obviously, for D&D and like your characters having backgrounds and being able to like make your character different. But you know, now we have partner with also, so now they keep designing these partner variants.
Yeah, and I think they do that for a reason. I think they recognize that partner was a bit of a mistake because it allowed for just too many things to happen, and that adding into it just makes it even more complex every time. It's not like, oh, we added one new partner card, cool, that's only going to affect five things. Like at this point, that's going to affect 1,000 different combinations or whatever it is, because that the number, right, it's like in terms of math, there's just so many more combinations when you add just even one more thing to that.
Yeah, I think there's 64 or 65 partners, and if you added even one more partner, it would, you'd have to try and figure out or predict how it interacts with the other 64 partners.
Yeah.
And you add two, that's 65 for both. So that's 130 new combinations from two cards coming into the format. And so if you add 10, you know, you can see it's exponential.
Yeah. And it definitely was a risk, even what they did in Commander Legends. And that's why they had to limit it to like
monocolor.
Let's really make sure we're not making, letting people make these crazy four color decks again. So it makes sense to me that we're moving into this new version, which is like, all right, instead of letting everything play with everything, as fun as that may be, in terms of a mind experiment, it's kind of a nightmare when it comes to design, because it will hamper the ability for the cards to be even more powerful in a lot of ways. And so I think it's better that we do have the smaller ecosystems.
Yeah, if it's an enclosed system, then all of a sudden it's a lot easier to sort of figure out what's broken, try and like make it manageable from a power level perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, not make any mistakes. So I think they were smart to do it.
They're also kind of designing for draft in a way.
Yeah, they have to make the draft work. Like, this is supposed to be drafting commander.
Yeah, so there's a lot of factors coming into it. But in general, I think it's better that we have less complexity when it comes to all these pairings.
Speaking of how many possible pairings there are 960 possible combinations. So there's still a lot, because there's 32 legendary creatures with choose a background, and there are 30 backgrounds. So each of those 32 creatures could be paired with any of the 30 backgrounds.
Yeah.
So 960 possible combinations is what we get, which I think is cool, because that is a lot of, you know, there are partner combinations we have never seen and will never see. Like, not that nobody's made that deck, but like the chances that I, as an individual, you know, I'd have to play 1,000 commander games and each one against a different combination before you even get to that point. And 1,000 games is a ton. So 960, there's going to be a lot of sort of ability to make a unique deck that nobody's ever seen before, because it's not that hard to come up with a background combination that just no one's tried.
Yeah.
Or you haven't seen, or, you know, because we're not, on our channel, we normally cover like every single card and we talk about it, right? It's impossible with these. So we're not even going to cover, we're not even going to scratch the surface. And I think all the content out there won't even scratch the surface of the 960 possibilities.
Yeah, there's a lot that won't be great, but at the same time, there's a lot that will get better over time because more cards will be printed that maybe fit into that archetype too. So I think that's one of the nice things about this is when you're looking through these cards at home, when you're going through the backgrounds and looking and sort of piecing it together in your head, really allow that to be your inspiration because there's so many different things to do. You don't have to play the most obvious ones. Like the ones we talked about at the beginning of the show, where it's like, yeah, tokens go wide. That's there. But there's also like this bully mechanic where it's like, hey, if no one else has more life than that player, then you get an extra bonus. So that might play into your meta. There's all sorts of different combinations out there. So definitely just explore.
All right. So having said that there's no way we can cover all 960 possibilities, what we decided to do here for the sort of back half of this episode is talk about our favorites.
Yep.
So Jimmy and I have each taken, I think, three of our combinations of backgrounds and creatures that sort of spoke to us or we saw something cool or we wanted to talk about. And we're going to kind of go through those quickly. We're not going to build the whole deck. Although one I will say is my Game Nights deck, which if you've watched Game Nights already, you will have seen it in action.
And boy, does that thing go off.
Yeah, it turned out to be pretty powerful. So yeah, okay, let's go through. Jimmy, why don't you go ahead and start?
Yeah, so one of my, the first card that stood out to me when I was looking through them is Durnan of the Yawning Portal. So this is 3 and a green for a legendary creature, Human Warrior. That's a 3/3. It says, whenever Durnan attacks, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may exile a creature card from among them, put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. For as long as that card remains exiled, you may cast it. That spell has Undaunted. So this is an older mechanic. We haven't seen this in a while. And it says it costs 1 mana less to cast for each opponent. So if you have a spell that costs
3 mana discount, basically.
3 mana discount. Yeah, if you have a 3 and a black card or 3 and a green card, it only costs 1 green to cast. And of course, Durnan says choose a background on it. So the card that I think paired up really well with this is Passionate Archaeologist, which is 1 and a red for a legendary enchantment background. Commander creatures you own have, whenever you cast a spell from exile, this creature deals damage equal to that spell's mana value to target opponent.
Oh, and you get a discount on the mana value.
Yeah.
So, boom.
But the mana value is still higher when you cast it, so you get, you know, you can cast a big spell for cheaper, hit someone for 5, 6, 7, 8, or whatever it is. Kind of like that Vile Smasher-y thing where it's like, I want to cast big spells because this is going to do a lot of damage.
I like this. Durnan quit his job at the as bartender at the tavern to become an archaeologist, and he has now discovered some arcane secrets.
Yeah. So there are a lot of ways to build this. I think a really fun way that you could do that I'm not going to talk about is like artifacts, because if you have an Undaunted artifact that costs 3 mana as a creature, it costs 0. Yeah. So and as an archaeologist, it kind of makes sense.
Yep.
But it's green red, so I went for the big. Big whammies.
this could become Timmy.deck because you get a discount on everything.
Yeah, so imagine if Apex Devastator cost 5 green-green instead of 8 green-green. It's a 10-10 that just has Cascade on it 4 times. So that seems like the kind of thing that you'd want to do in a deck like this, which is just swing, check out this sweet creature, play it, and then just Cascade massively throughout the rest of your deck. There's a bunch of actually great high CMC cards that do that. Annoyed Altasaur is one that does that just for 5 green-green. It's a common. And then Aurora Phoenix also does this as 4 red-red. But if you subtract 3 from each of these numbers, Aurora Phoenix is a 1 red-red 5/3 flyer that Cascades. Wow.
And the Cascade's going to trigger the background, too, every time it...
Yes, because you're going to cast it from exile as well. So you have double exile on the Cascade, double
so
hitting on the
Archaeologist.
Cast
Apex Devastator, you're casting it from exile the first time for cheaper, and then Cascade 4 times. Yeah, you could easily just dome somebody for 20 at that moment.
Yeah.
Pretty easily, yeah.
Yeah, as you go through your deck. So yeah, it's pretty nuts. I think you want to play cards like Wolfgar of Icewind Dale.
Oh, 2 cards.
Yeah, because if a creature you control attacking would cause a triggered ability of a permanent to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time.
So Durnan triggers twice.
Yeah, you get 2 cards to cast off of it. And obviously, this is a green-red deck. You need a lot of mana, so you're trying to ramp like crazy as well.
But in green-red, not difficult.
Not difficult at all.
Yep.
And then when it came to like, hey, we're casting stuff from exile, this is a big theme that's happened a lot in Magic recently. Now there's a lot of different ways to get this trigger off. So Atali, Primal Storm is by far the most powerful, I think, of the ones we'll talk about. And imagine this card just costs 1 red-red.
Brutal.
Pretty brutal. And then you've got Lelia the Blade Reforge. Whenever she attacks, exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn. So you're going to constantly get that, even if you don't have your commander out.
Same goes. Any impulsive draws are still going to be good. Yeah.
Jessica's Will, obviously.
Yep.
You also have, you find some prisoners, which is one of my new favorite cards from AFR, which is one or red, and you can choose one of two. You either destroy an artifact or exile the top three cards of target opponent's library, and then you can choose one of them until in your next turn, you can cast that spell. And pay mana as though it was mana of any color. Maybe you actually play Wand of Wonder in this deck, Josh, because you're trying to cast stuff out of exile.
Yeah. You still don't, because 7 mana for the first activation.
Yeah, it's not
much.
Great. So, one of the interesting...
And Durnan can't find it or cast it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And it's also not a creature. And it also only casts instant sorceries. All right, moving on. it was a joke. So, the thing I think you want to do with this deck is swing with Durnan, find a creature to cast it, but then you want to be able to swing with that creature this turn, but you've already been in combat.
So you need extra combat?
Yeah, extra combat. And fortunately, there are so many extra combats that are given by creatures.
Right, they're red creatures.
Yeah, so Combat Celebrant, Port Razor, Scourge of the Throne, a new one, Karlach, Fury of Avernus. So basically, if you're able to swing with Journey with one of these creatures out, you get an extra combat step, you go and find Apex Devastator, you cast that. All you need to have is a Haste Enabler on top to be able to now swing with the cards that you're getting from this.
You have an Anger or something, yeah.
Yeah, Anger is great, but Urbrask is also a creature that does
it.
That
you could find, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of synergy with the red side of this that really is nice. And then you have like Mass Hysteria, Concordant Crossroads to just give that out of nowhere one mana, everything has haste. Hopefully that's a turn you just go off and win.
Morog's another one.
Yeah, Morog as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So because they're all creatures, they're all going to be cheaper to cast. It seems like this deck has a lot of potential to just be very... smack you in the face and cast some cool big creatures. Just like nice classic Magic.
And a lot of good value too, I think. You know, one thing that's easy to miss is Durnan is kind of drawing you cards when he does his thing. So that's a way to not run out of gas. You know, a lot of sort of big stompy aggressive decks can tend to like one board wipe, one setback. They don't have a lot of options anymore, but this has a way to sort of get you back in the game, which I like.
Yeah, you definitely have Heroic Intervention in this deck. You probably need to find some way to make Durnan unblockable or hard to block. One of the other sort of like commander cards I thought you could have paired with this was like Cultist of the Absolute, which gives it like +3/+3 flying and death touch. So that's like a way to make sure it always swings in. So there are ways to do it. Maybe it's equipment. Maybe you're putting Sword Ofs.
Yeah, Sword Ofs seem pretty safe.
Yeah. And also, by the way, extra combat's great for Durnan because you want to have that trigger happen again.
Right.
So there's lots to sort of build around there. And as long as you have one juicy target to swing at, then Durnan's in the clear.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. Okay, we've got a couple more favorites from Jimmy, a few from me coming up, but we're going to take a quick break first and hear a message from our sponsors.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back talking about the background commanders and pairings. And our favorite from the set, one of the best creatures ever printed in the history of Magic may have come in this set. And
I think Graham probably agrees with you.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. His name is Wilson, Refined Grizzly.
I like how his name's Wilson.
Wilson, one in a green for a 2/2 bear warrior. The spell can't be countered. It has vigilance, reach, and trample. It also has ward 2, so a little bit hard to cast something that targets it. And then, of course, choose a background. This is just, look at this card.
Look, a legendary bear that's actually a 2/2, and they were like, well, in order to make this commander playable, we have to throw every ability we can think of on here.
Yeah, basically hexproof with ward, and then vigilance, reach, and trample. So this thing is suited up. So I was
except
thinking,
for in the power and toughness.
Except
category.
In the power and toughness, yeah, yeah. So I was like, how can we fix that? Well, of course, you pair it with Cultists of the Absolute, which I just mentioned. It's black for a legendary enchantment background. Commander creatures you own get +3/+3 and have flying, death touch, and ward, pay 3 life. So now it's got double ward on it.
So it would have ward 2 plus pay 3 life?
Yeah. No one's ever going to target this thing. or if they do, they're going to really dislike what happens.
But Cultist of the Absolute has a downside also.
Yeah. It says, at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a creature. So if you're going to go this route, I think it's Voltron is the main thing because you're swinging with a 5/5 flying death touch.
Trample.
Vigilance, reach, life. Trample,
yeah,
bear.
Reach, oh, that's reach. Yeah,
yeah, reach. Not so...
Ward
not so,
2 and ward pay 3 life.
Yeah. So it's like sacrifice token Voltron. So I think the goal is to get like kind of like a Black Green Aristocrats type deck with a value engine, and then your commander is just going to hit them a bunch in the air and just continually speed that process up. So there's tons of great creatures in green and black that will give you an extra body to sacrifice. Callous Blood Mage is one of my new favorite cards from Strixhaven. 2 in the black for a 2/1. When it enters the battlefield, choose one. You either create a 1/1 black and green pest creature token with when this creature dies, you gain 1 life, or you draw a card and you lose a life, or you exile target player's graveyard. So no matter what stage you are in the game, this is just an incredibly good value spell for you. And then you have great removal spells like Pest Infestation. Strixhaven just had a lot of pest creators, and these are just excellent tokens to sacrifice to the downside on Cultist of the Absolute. Ophiomancer, just a all-star in this deck.
Every turn,
every single
turn, it provides
it
for you.
Yeah, yep. And then if you have other sack outlets, you can just keep sacking the snake until you get back to your upkeep. Izzoni, Thousand-Eyed, similar thing. Same with like Belladros, Witherbloom. This might be a little high-end, but once this card gets out, you're just... You're in the green.
Creates a 1/1 on everybody's upkeep.
Yeah, every single person's upkeep. Yeah. And then you also get to pay 10 life and untap all lands you control.
Oh, right, right. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Just no big deal. No big. Woe Strider is a card that Murph and I were gushing about earlier in the set review. When it enters the battlefield, you create a 0/1 white goat creature token. And then you can also sack another creature to scry one. So it's very similar to Viscerous here. And of course, you can escape it from your graveyard. Protean Hulk seems very good in this deck because you're just trying to pull out your Blood Artist, Zeal the Port Cutthroat, and a bunch of other 1-drops and 2-drops. And your Protean Hulk, when you sacrifice it, either from the background or just in general, you're going to get pretty much your entire combo pieces on the board and can just keep
going
from there.
Protean Hulk is good.
Yeah, very good. Used to be banned. And then like Endrick Star, there's just tons of token creators. So you can kind of go the full token route. And then just pairing that up with some sack outlets and aristocrats and then the bear smacking them in the air.
Yeah, you're probably going to want those cards that kind of pay you off for things dying, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, because you have tokens, you can play like Tend the Pest, Village Rites, Plumb the Forbidden, Deadly Dispute,
yeah,
and draw a ton of cards from them, get all that value. So you're going to have a great engine going, and hopefully churn you through your deck. Wilson's just smacking someone every single turn. They have to worry about it. And the best part about Cultist of the Absolute is you get this whole combo out for 3 mana.
Yeah.
So 3 mana, you have a 5/5 hitting people in the air as a commander. That's like very, very powerful, I think.
Yeah, Cultist of the Absolute, I was immediately drawn to it because it's only the 1 mana.
Yeah.
And also remember, if they kill your commander, then you don't have to sacrifice the creatures anymore.
It right.
gives your commander that ability. So that's easy to sort of miss and think that it's a little bit worse than it is. Because at first I was reading it and I was like, well, what if they kill my commander? I'm still sacking creatures. This
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't actually have to do that. So
yeah, Wilson only costs 4 to cast the next time. So
yeah, it's easy to just start going again, right?
Yeah. And if it doesn't happen, then you're aristocratsing them out.
Yeah. Which I've heard is still works pretty good.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's probably the way you kill most of the players. Maybe you get one with Wilson.
Yeah, I think Wilson, if anything, is just chipping everyone down so that it's possible to win with aristocrats. Because
right.
if it's like aristocrats, everyone take one. All right, go to 39. It's like, oh gosh, we're in...
Well, yeah, but aristocrats is almost always like, you know, I sack 3 creatures, everybody else has to sack things, and then at some point I get to the point where I'm sacking 10 things at a time or infinite things and everybody dies. Yeah.
Yep. Wilson's just there to give a friendly... hand or a paw, I suppose.
Friendly?
Yeah, very friendly. He's refined. He's a refined paw. Hey there. So I wanted to make...
So yeah, your next favorite pairing is also with Wilson.
Also with Wilson, that's right. So this is with Wilson and a card called Raised by Giants.
Yep.
Which is just absolutely hilarious to me. So Raised by Giants is 5 and a green for a legendary enchantment background. It says, commander creatures you own have base power and toughness 10/10 and are giants in addition to their other types. So that's right, everyone.
Wilson does have trample natively.
Yeah. So now you're going to make Wilson into a wonderful 10/10 Vigilance Reach Trample Ward 2. So the question now becomes, okay, what can we do with this to try and just destroy people? Well, he's a 10/10 at this point, so you want to double the power. Gets you right up to that commander damage line, and you only have to add a little bit of stuff on top of that. So, Unnatural Growth, 1 green, 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 green. At the beginning of each combat, double the power and toughness of each creature you control until end of turn. So, not just Wilson, but anything else you happen to have on the board. God Eternal Ronus doubles the power of each other creature you control when it enters the battlefield. Nylea's Colossus does that on enchantments. Fire Streaker is going to give you double strike. So these are all basically ways to try and kill everyone with just one huge smack. And then I think you're just playing just meme-y cards. I would play Colossus Hammer in this deck because you're going to have, right? You have to pay 6 mana to cast your whatever.
Right,
so
right.
Hopefully you can get up to 8 pretty quickly. And then Wilson just becomes a 20/20. You also have Eldrazi Conscription, which is pretty great.
Brutal.
Double
plus
that.
The Annihilator.
Yeah, Annihilator, and then double up that Trample for no reason. And then I was like, how can you actually just get this to 21? So you have a lot of different spells in green that are able to just add a +1/+1 counter incidentally. Like Ancient Animus is great as a fight spell. Biogenic Upgrade, Forgotten Ancient. These are all ways to just sort of pile encounters on your card. And even look, because you have Unnatural Growth, and even if you don't cast your make it a 10/10, if you just
Raised by Giants.
Raised by Giants. Even if you have like your Unnatural Growth out, just adding a few counters to Wilson to make him a 5/5, now a 10/10, right? You're still getting the effects of it without needing to have that other enchantment out. Blessings of Nature is a miracle one you can do to cast to add 4/1/1 counters on any number of target creatures. And I also think you want to play like Witch's Clinic because it's 2, tap it, target commander gains lifelink until end of turn.
Might as well just, yeah.
So you're just going to just, yeah. And you're in a 2-color deck, so you're not too out of it.
I mean, one nice thing I'll say about like Raised by Giants, and it kind of applies to Cultist of the Absolute, but it's 1 mana, so you don't care as much.
Yeah.
Is that these are not auras. So they don't attach to the creature. So when you kill the creature, when they inevitably like kill the bear, you pay it for 4, but it's still a 10/10 because they probably didn't also destroy the Raised by Giants.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's a lot harder for them to get rid of both things. Yeah. And I think that's kind of an upside of the backgrounds is they didn't make them auras. It might, you know.
Oh, that would be really bad if they made them auras, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think it must have had to be a consideration just from a power level perspective of you start with 2 cards in your command zone There's a bunch of reasons. But yeah, they decided not to. So one of the upsides you can sort of exploit as a player is it's daunting to have to pay 6 for your Raised by Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it 6 or 5? Whatever it is.
Six, yeah.
It's a lot, but the fact that it will apply to your commander as it dies and goes back, unless they specifically also remove the Raised by Giants. Is definitely an upside.
Yeah. And then when I was looking at Nelia's Colossus, I was like, this is interesting. What if you could cast more enchantments? And I thought, hey, actually, there is an Enchantress build that may be able to make this a really efficient deck. So if you're going the Enchantress route, you're going to play all of the ones that are in green. So you got Argothian Enchantress, Ilana Blossoms, Setessan Champion, Enchantress's Presence. And then you have the ability to really buff up Wilson in different ways that aren't just Raised by Giants. You have Boar Umbra, which protects it as well. Fight Rigging, a new spell from New Capenna that has Hideaway 5, 2 and a green. At the beginning of combat on your turn, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. Then if you control a creature with power 7 or greater, seems like you're going to do that in this deck, you may play the exiled card without paying its mana cost.
So it kind of becomes, yeah, card draw.
Yeah, and then you got, I've never seen this card before, Predatory Hunger, green enchantment aura. Whenever an opponent casts a creature spell, put a +1/+1 counter on enchanted creature. So this seems like in the right meta, it's kind of like a Mana Gorge or Hydra type thing. It's just going to make it a really, really big card really fast. Mm-hmm. And then Mark of Sekiko, it's another card I found. One in a green for an enchantment aura. Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, add that much green mana. Until end of turn, you don't lose this mana as steps and phases end. So if now, this is like Dreamland now. You got a 10-10 swinging, you hit them for 8, you add 8 extra mana. You're going to be able to do a lot with that.
I don't know if it's that much Dreamland. Because I wouldn't, let's say I'm staring at you and you've got your commander. And
you'd be staring at the commander then, Josh, not me.
Yeah, and you've got 6 mana. I know what you're going to do next turn. And it's like, eh, it's got trample. I can block it. It's right. Not going to kill me. You know what I mean? I'm willing to take 8. The next turn is the scary turn when it's like, okay, that 10 could turn into 20 or whatever. Yeah, and if you have one of those other cards out, you know, that I'm also staring at that's going to double its whatever. But like 6 mana, just commander, I'm probably willing to take a hit from that thing. So
yeah, I think the play pattern is play Wilson, and then between Wilson and Raised by Giants, you're adding +1/+1 counters to them. You're getting equipment on them or playing one of the double spells. And then when you play Raised by Giants, you just have the ability to kill someone right then. And
yeah, they're going to see that coming though. So be careful, because it's not like they can't see Raised by Giants in your command zone.
It's a giant. They better be able to see it.
I mean, when I see my commander is going to have 10 power, I think Infect.
Ah.
And Trample. So
I'm not a bad person, Josh.
Grafted Exocel then seems like a pretty good one. Or
Yeah.
That's going to give Infect, because then you don't have to get to 21. You just have to
smack him once. And
yeah, maybe give it a 2 or 3 power bump, and Triumph for the Horde would still do it.
Yeah. There's a lot of cards in green as well that are just pure Infect-y. So that seems like a good way to go, especially if you're going to play those one-off pump spells.
Yeah, I think it could work, because if it's a 10-10 trample and you make it a 13-13 trample Infect, well, that's gonna get rid
build
of a lot of players.
Build your own Blightsteel.
Yeah.
Finally.
That's cool. That seems fun. That's two very Jimmy decks in there. The very Timmy Jimmy. old Timmy Jimmy, which is this one and the red green one from earlier.
Yeah, Durnin, yeah.
Very cool.
Fun stuff.
All right.
What you got, Josh?
So I was similar. You kind of looked at Wilson and were like, there's two directions, two different backgrounds that I might go. And I kind of looked at the background Haunted one. Mm. And it really appealed to me for whatever reason, and I thought, oh, there's two different directions that I could think of going that might be cool with Haunted One. So let me read Haunted One really quickly.
Got a lot of value.
It is 2 in a black for a legendary enchantment background. Commander creatures you own have, whenever this creature becomes tapped, it and other creatures you control that share a creature type with it get +2/+0 and gain undying until end of turn. Mm. And undying is when a creature with undying dies, if it had no +1/+1 counters on it, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control with a +1/+1 counter on it. So undying, it dies, it comes back, it's a little bit bigger, but most importantly, the +1/+1 counter kind of indicates it's already used its undying, and it, you know, technically you couldn't just keep sacking it over and over, because the second time it dies, it does have a +1/+1 counter, and so undying won't bring it back. Also, Haunted One's interesting because it gives the ability when your commander becomes tapped, so the undying wouldn't stick around on the creature that died and came back anyway, because it didn't see the original time.
Oh,
that
I see. Okay.
Commander. So there's a lot of intricacies, but of course there's tapping involved here, which I like. There's value from recurring creatures.
Yeah,
which
and
I like.
Dying is very powerful here.
Yeah. So those are the two sort of directions that this card is pulling you, leaning into the undying, graveyard recursion, aristocrat style stuff, and then the untapping shenanigans for mass pump. because if you had a commander that you could tap and untap like three times, you're going to get +6/+0 on all the creatures that share a creature type with it. So you can kind of either design your deck around that or design your deck to sort of take advantage of the recursion and then at some point flip over to, and now I'm going to tap my, then I have five or six creatures, I'm going to tap my commander 17 times and give everything 30, you know, +30 power or whatever. Yeah, so the first commander I sort of looked at the bunch and thought this could work well with is Jahera, Friend of the Forest, who we talked about earlier. This is the 2/3 for 3 mana. It's green, but it's a human elf druid, and it says tokens you control have tap and add a green. So this could be sort of token tribal, and the goal would be to exploit the Undying to either get creatures that make tokens when they die or enter the battlefield.
Oh, so you're going to get that trigger again.
Yeah, exactly. So they either enter the battlefield, make a token, then you sack them, and they come back with Undying, and you make tokens again. Or they enter the battlefield, and you sack them, and they make tokens, and then they Undying, and then you sack it again. And sometimes you don't even care if, you know, they don't come back the second time. You just get their leaves or dies trigger twice. Yeah.
Notably, they also have to share a creature type with Jahera, but Jahera is a human elf druid, so that's three potential hits.
And human and elf have to be the most common creature types.
Especially.
Yeah. I guess zombie maybe would be the third, but druid also is no slouch. So Deep Forest Hermit is a druid and an elf.
Oh man, this card is so good in this deck.
Yeah, it makes four squirrels when it enters the battlefield. So imagine cast Deep Forest Hermit, get the four squirrels, you know, tap Jahera somehow, sacrifice Deep Forest Hermit, comes back, makes four more squirrels.
And so they're all +1/+1, so that's eight squirrels that are 2/2s.
I even think stuff like Doom Dissenter, which is one in a black for a 1/1, but when it dies, you create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. Remember, the tokens that you create do not have to share the creature type necessarily. Right. I mean, you want them to for the pump from Jahera, but also like just getting a lot of creatures will go far, and you're probably still going to play, you know, your Craterhoof variant, whatever it is, Triumph of the Hordes, Beastmaster Ascension, something
Pathbreaker
like that.
Ibex. Yeah. Well, also the tokens have, they become mana dorks.
Yeah.
So there's even more synergy there.
Yeah. So then maybe like Zathrid Necromancer, which whenever a human you control dies, you create a 2/2. Mm-hmm. So now you got Doom Dissenter, Zathrid Necromancer out. You sack the Doom Dissenter, you make a zombie and two zombies because of Zathrid Necromancer. Then Doom Dissenter comes back, you sack again, make two more. Then you sack Zathrid Necromancer, you make one. Color of the Claw is a really good one. It's two and a green for a 2/2 with flash. When it enters the battlefield, you make a 2/2 bear. For for each non-token creature put into your graveyard from the battlefield this turn.
Oh, you sack your entire board and then flash this thing in?
Sack your entire board, sack it again, flash this thing in. It's seen everything die twice. It's going to make that many. Then you sack the Caller of the Claw, it comes back and makes that many tokens twice. This is the kind of thing you could do at instant speed too.
Yeah.
So you could just look, like even if you just have Doom Dissenter, Zathrid Necromancer out with your background and everything, you have to be able to get Jahera tapped. We'll deal with that in a second. That would be Doom Dissenter, make two tokens.
Yep.
Comes back, do it again, make four tokens. Zathrid Necromancer, sack it, make a 2/2. Sack it again, make a sixth token. Caller of a Claw comes out, have seen four creatures go to the battlefield, make four.
Yep.
Sack it, now it comes back, and it's seen five creatures go, make five more. So that, what is that, 11, 15? From just having a Doom Dissenter and a Zathrid Necromancer out.
Yeah,
so you don't even look scary. And that's a game-winning play, right? The next turn, you could be attacking and killing people. So that seems like pretty fun, pretty exciting. Now, I know what a lot of people were saying because I talked about it earlier, which is like, you have to be able to tap Jahera. And not only that, you have to be able to tap Jahera and untap it and tap it again in between when this stuff's happening. So there's a lot of hoops to jump through, which I find fun because I like tapping and untapping things. Vehicles are the best way to get your creature tapped.
Yeah.
Right? So that you don't have to attack because Jahira's not very big. So Smuggler's Copter is a good one. Mobile Garrison's really good.
Yeah.
Because it both taps and untaps her.
Yeah, I play this card in my Magda deck for this very reason.
So it's a 3/4 vehicle for 3, but when it attacks, you can untap target creature you control and has crew 2. So you crew it with Jahera, that taps her, get your Undying, your +2/+0. Attack with Mobile Garrison, that untaps her, and then you tap her again right away to crew the Mobile Garrison.
Yeah. After a vehicle's been crewed, you can re-crew it, notably. So even though it's already a thing, you can activate the crew ability and then tap a creature down to do that. So that's pretty neat.
And you can over-crew too, so you could always crew for 6 or 8 if you want.
Yeah.
Cryptic Gateway is another cool way to get tapped because it's also tribal synergies.
So. Yeah. 5 mana, tap 2 untapped creatures you control. You may put a creature card from your hand into the battlefield on the battlefield that shares a creature type with each creature tapped this way. And that's all that you're doing in this deck.
Yeah, so you've got tribal synergies already. That's really good. Then the untapping, this is interesting. Think Umbral Mantle's, you know, decent. Mm-hmm. It's got an untap ability, so you equip it, and then you pay 3 to untap the creature, and it gets +2/+0 until end of turn.
Yep.
So for 3 mana, you can always untap Jahir, which is kind of steep, but you're in green. You'll probably be able to make a bunch of mana. The really cool one is Thornbite Staff.
Yeah, this is the busted one.
Yeah, so you get Thornbite Staff. Unfortunately, not a shaman, but you're just going to be willing to pay the total. Thornbite Staff says, equip creature has pay 2, tap this creature, deal 1 damage to target creature or player, and then whenever a creature is put into a graveyard from play, untap this creature.
Notably, those are separate lines of text.
Yeah, so you're sacking your creatures, so every time you sack the creature,
trigger goes on the stack.
It untaps Jahira, and now you're in a pretty good loop if you have Mobile Garrison or Smuggler's Copter or something where you just tap it, crew, sack a creature again, it untaps you here, tap it, crew, and this whole time you're growing things, and like that's one of those ways that you could potentially tap and untap you here like 10+ times.
Yeah,
if you had Concordant Crossroads or some way to give things haste, that could be a game-winning turn, or just like I said, Collar of the Claw, do this on your turn. And then of course the last section here is how to exploit the undying part of Jahir, and I don't think this deck is focused as much on that, but it can have some pieces. So
yeah, so undying, by the way, if it has a +1/+1 counter, it cannot get undying again. So if you try and sacrifice it with undying, it's like, well, sorry, it can't come back. So you have to find ways to get rid of that counter.
One way to get rid of a +1/+1 counter is to add a -1/-1 counter to something. That
math.
What happens is what happens is you don't have, so if you're a creature and you have a +1/+1 counter and a card adds a -1 counter to it, you don't get both counters. They just negate each other, and now there's no +1/+1 counter there.
Yep.
So Devoted Druid, which is a card I think we talk about a lot, it's just kind of inherently broken. It has a bunch of combo potential. Mm-hmm. It's not as broken in this deck because, again, the undying, you have to tap Jahira, you have to get into that tap loop. But still, if Devoted Druid, if you can tap it 3 times, the third time, whenever you tap it, it taps for mana and it gets a -1/-1 counter to untap it.
Yeah.
So you tap it, you put a -1/-1 counter on it, untap it, tap it, -1/-1 counter, untap it.
And then it will die,
It will die, yeah.
But if it has undying...
Yes. So this is what... You have to have haste or something on it, but this is a way for you to, like... Ostensibly infinite mana if you can infinitely tap Jahir whenever you want. If you had like Thornbite Staff or something, it would work. So add the mana, it dies with undying, comes back with a +1/+1 counter on it. The first time you untap it, you get rid of the -1 counter, do it again, dies. Now it comes back because it doesn't have +1/+1 counters anymore.
You just have to give it undying each time.
Yep.
With Jahir, yeah.
So that is pretty cool. Bane Whip Punisher's a pretty cool one for just infinite sacrifices.
Yeah.
So it's 2 in a black for a 2/2, but when it enters the battlefield, you can put a -1/-1 counter on target creature.
Ooh.
So worst case scenario, not worst case, but...
Good case scenario.
Good case scenario if you had like an altar of dementia or an altar of whatever. And again, you have to be able to tap Jahira in between all of these, but Thornbite Staff or something would let you do it. You sack Banewish Punisher. It comes back with undying, but you choose itself as to put the -1/-1 counter on, and now it's just even. It also has the ability to pay a black, sack it, and... destroy target creature with a 1/1 counter on it. So it is also a removal spell. So even if you're not doing the sort of combo-y part of it, you could always figure this out.
This card was so good and limited.
Yeah, so good.
It's nuts, yeah.
Yawgmoth.
Ooh.
Really, really good, because you already want to sack creatures. Now you sack creatures. You pay life to sack creatures and put -1/-1 counters on things and draw cards, and then... You know, in this case, you're putting the -1 counter on your stuff to take off the +1/+1 counter, so you can now sack it with undying. So this is a way to be like, play Yawgmoth, sack this, comes back with undying, put a -1 counter on something that I already sacked that had undying, sack that, it comes back with undying, put the -1 counter on the other thing that I played, and just, you know, go down the line, draw all the cards.
Yep, as long as you're able to untap and tap Jahira, that is where the real combo starts. Yawgmoth seems really good in this deck, though.
Cauldron of Souls is really good with Undying because it gives persist to everything. So what you get to do is kind of choose. You go, okay, everything's got Undying because I got Jahira tapped. So I sack it all. It comes all back with +1/+1 counters. Now I activate Cauldron of Souls and I sack it all. And now it comes back with persist. Actually, you do that in the other order, I guess, so it's bigger when they come back. Whatever. Right. Either way, you say, oh, this second time I'm giving it persist. So now I can sack all my stuff three times.
Right. Because, yeah, one persistent.
Oh, no, sorry, four times. Because now that it's got the negative one counter on it, I can sack it again to the Undying.
Oh, that's right. And it comes back with a plus. Yeah, yeah. So persist says if it comes back with a minus one counter if it didn't have one.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So it's the inverse of Undying, which is negative one counter instead of plus one counter. But because you can kind of, oh, well, now when it dies, add a negative one, but not a plus one, so it'll go Undying. You can, yeah. If you could untap Cauldron of Souls, you could do that.
Your opponents will be very happy to hear you try and explain all of this to them every turn as you're doing it.
Retribution of the Ancients, I think, is a really good card in this deck. It's one red, one black for an enchantment. You can pay a black and remove X11 counters from among creatures you control. Target creature gets negative X until end of turn.
Yeah, so this is interesting because you're not paying X as a cost. You can pay a black, and if you have five +1/+1 counters, you can get rid of all of them, give a creature -5/-5 until end of turn.
So you not only kill a creature, you reset the Undying on everything.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, so that's probably one of the best cards in the deck.
He just costs a black to cast.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Josh and I have a horror story about this card. We drafted with it once. Cleanse of Tarkir days. We were like this. We had like Necropolis Agent or something nuts. I forget what it was, but we were like, this is it. We've got the combo assembled. And then, of course, because it's MTGO, we misclicked a bunch and then just lost.
And we talk about like killed our own creature.
Yeah.
Because MTGO was like, choose your target. And we were like, take the counters from that and then destroy that. And what it did is like, took the counters off and destroyed our own creature. MTGO, this is before Arena.
This cannot happen in real life.
Yeah.
Because you can be more clear with your words, fortunately.
Okay, so that's the first path with Haunted One, but I think there's another one.
Yeah.
And this would involve pairing Haunted One with Volo, Itinerant Scholar. Is that how you say that?
The full mythic combo, by the way.
Yeah.
Because there's both the mythic creature and enchantment.
So Volo's interesting. It's 2 and a blue for a 2/3 human wizard. So those are your tribes now. Human wizard. You still have human, which is great. Wizard, there's lots. When Volo enters the battlefield, you create Volo's Journal, a legendary colorless artifact token with hexproof, and the token says this. Whenever you cast a creature spell, note one of its creature types that hasn't been noted for this artifact. Then you can pay 2, tap Volo to draw a card for each creature type noted for target permanent you control named Volo's Journal. Confusing as all hell. Basically, every time you play a creature, if you, hopefully you'll put a counter on Volo's Journal because it's of a creature type that's different than anything that's come before. And then you pay 2, tap Volo, and you say, well, how many counters are on that journal?
Draw them.
Okay, it's 4. I'll draw 4.
Yeah, so pretty good engine at the very least. But you're in blue now, so you got your favorite cards. Wizards, tappers, all sorts of things, right?
Yeah, and I think we're not even going to care about wizards and humans that much. This would be opening us up to what I'd call the all-tribe deck, the changeling deck, right? Changelings have all the tribes, so you can just note any creature type you want for them. And then, of course, that allows you to start looping. Instead of being forced to loop only elves, druids, or whatever,
right?
Now I can get my hands maybe on Maskwood Nexus or Arcane Adaptation. Those are cards that make all your creatures
changelings,
all types.
Yep.
And that way, when you tap Volo for the Haunted One, you give Undying to everything or +2/+0 to everything because they're just saying all your creatures share the same types. And Maskwood Nexus is an artifact, and blue's really good at tutoring artifacts, and black's really good at tutoring anything.
Right.
So you can find those things easily. And now we can loop Kokusho or Grey Merchant with our Undying stuff.
Right.
You still have Retribution of the Ancients. You still have Cauldron of Souls, probably. Agent of Treachery we can loop, you know. And this is also one of the mill. These are the mill combination and the, you know, you have reanimate and animate dead combinations and things like that. So there's a way to cheat things out. Peregrine Drake is a really good one to loop because you just untap lands when you do it. Puppeteer Click.
I really like Aetherborn Marauder.
Yeah. So
it's similar to what we're doing. We're trying to get rid of the +1/+1 counters. When it enters the battlefield, you move any number of 1/1 counters from other permanents you control onto Aetherborn Marauder. So as long as you stack it the right way, it can always grab all of the Undying counters. And so it allows the loop to go off again.
Yep. Aetherborn Marauder is great, but it doesn't share any creature types, really. I guess there's a couple that have rogue, but
yeah,
you need to have Maskwood Nexus or something like that going on to make this work. Walking Ballista, you could do the Walking Ballista thing with Undying, because Walking Ballista, you can remove the +1/+1 counter to deal damage to something, then it dies,
and
enters the battlefield again with a 1/1 counter.
Dies.
Again, you're in the same situation, though, where you have to be able to tap and untap Volo in between the deaths, because if Walking Bliss is out and you remove the last counter and it dies and comes back with Undying, that right. new card that's on the battlefield doesn't have Undying anymore. But fortunately, blue is actually the best color at tapping or untapping things.
To no surprise.
So, and the biggest card, I think, is Intruder Alarm.
Yep.
So
very good.
Yeah, when the Undying creature comes back, it will untap your Volo. And that will function basically similarly to, what was the card?
Thornbite Staff. Yeah.
Which you probably still play in this deck. Maybe not. There's a lot of options. But Intruder Alarm will allow you to... And it untaps all your creatures. So if you had any Mana Dorks or anything in there, less likely, obviously, in Dimir. But Intruder Alarm could be very, very good.
Undying creature comes back, Volo untaps. Now you just have to tap it again and get the whole thing going.
And remember, Volo has his own mechanic to tap himself.
Oh, right.
By paying the two and drawing the cards. So if you had like Peregrine Drake, Intruder Alarm, right? Peregrine Drake, Intruder Alarm just is it. Because as long as you have a way to sort of take off the counters for the Undying, that creates the mana to tap the Volo to draw the cards, to create the infinite mana to cast the cards. So
this is nice. It's infinite, but it takes 3 to 5 cards, it seems, to do so. So it's not like this inherently like, ugh, it's so busted. So it seems like the setup is actually worth it here.
Yeah, think of what you need. You need Volo, you need Intruder Alarm, you need Peregrine Drake, and you also need a way to remove counters like Retribution of the Ancients or something. So like, I feel fine about putting that Rube Goldberg machine together and winning because it's like, that's a lot of pieces.
Yep.
Then, of course, there's like a Fetal Alchemist.
Free from the Real, Penman's Aura.
There's also other ways to get Volo tapped if you didn't want to have to pay the mana. So Zombie, he's a wizard, could tap it to just draw a card.
Oh, right, yeah. Tap an untap wizard you control, draw a card. Zombie's rocks. She's awesome.
Opposition is another really good card in general that could work really well with Intruder Alarm. And we know this, if you've ever had that happen to you. But can tap down everybody's everything. And it works pretty good to tap down just mana and mana dorks before you sort of start to go off. So, yeah, I think the All Tribes Volo Haunted One deck seems pretty fun.
Yeah.
Seems
pretty
cool.
Opposition seems nuts because you're tapping stuff to tap stuff down, then you're sacking it to come back and you can do it again.
Yep.
Yeesh.
Yeah, because Opposition does not give an ability to a creature, so they don't care about summoning sickness.
Yeah, it's on the enchantment itself.
Yeah.
Okay. We got one more from you.
We got one more, and this one is the deck that I played on game nights. Of course, you have to consider one of my favorites because I did choose to build it.
Mono blue.
Yeah, so it's Vol, Candlekeep Researcher, and Clan Crafter. Vol is 3 and a blue for a 2/3 human wizard with vigilance. You can tap Vol to add an amount of colorless mana equal to Vol's toughness, but this mana can't be spent to cast spells from your hand.
Yeah, so it's a 2/3, so you can just tap it to add 3 mana, but has to be done on things not from your hand.
Then Clan Crafter is the background, and it says, commander creatures you own have, you pay 2, sacrifice an artifact, put a 1/1 counter on this creature, and draw a card. So these seem to work really well together because Clan Crafter has an activated ability that costs 2 colorless that Val is allowed to pay for because that's not casting a spell out of your hand. And then when you sack that artifact, you put a +1/+1 counter on target creature and draw a card. Well, the counter can go on Vol, which means the next time you tap it, it'll tap for more mana.
Right, 4, 5, 6.
So once you have it to 4, you can sack 2 artifacts, put 2 counters on Vol, and next time it'll tap for 6 because it'll have 6 toughness. So that loop kind of made sense to me and wasn't... One thing I'll say, and I'm sure you feel this way too, Jimmy, is that like when we are building the decks for game nights, there is no information about any of the cards yet online.
Right.
The world doesn't know about them. And so you're trying to build this deck, and I feel a lot of pressure to like obviously build a good version of the deck to show to people on the show because 1 million people are going to watch the game.
You don't want to make a deck that misses on some really key combos or something.
Yeah, like on this game nights, spoiler alert for game nights, if you haven't watched it, you should stop right now, go watch it, you can come back. You know, Jimmy's, your deck had trouble in that game, right? He got mana screwed. Yeah, and that's happened to all of us. It's happened to me a few times. And, you know, yeah, it feels bad in those situations because you really want to show your deck to the world.
Yeah.
So this, you know, here I am, I'm looking through the backgrounds, and because nobody had chosen a background commander, and I was like, we have to do one. So I was like, okay, trying to put together these things. I thought about the Haunted One stuff, but it seems really like likely to like misfire.
Right.
And then that's like a more of a...
Or just win by infinite, and that's not as exciting, I think, either.
So, and that's, you know, that's the kind of deck that, like, I would like to build the Haunted One Volo deck myself, tune it over time, get to play it a bunch of times.
Yeah, you need to know how to pilot that thing, too.
Yeah, it misfires, no big deal, because it was just a game we were playing for fun, and then I'm like, oh, I should add this card, take this out.
Yeah.
Vol made sense, that loop of, like, hey, all I need is artifacts, and this will do its thing, right? Like, if I have enough artifacts out, I can Clancrafter, draw more cards, create more mana, you know, find a way to win.
Activate some abilities.
Yeah, so let's talk about... the chapter or the sort of subject headings for Vol, which is the first one is mana filtering. If you filter the three mana from Vol through something, then on the other side of that, you could use it to cast spells out of your hand. So, for example, Basalt Monolith.
Yep, great example. So, it's a three mana artifact. You can tap it to add three, but it doesn't untap. You have to pay three mana to untap Basalt Monolith. Well, hey, Vol can do that.
Yeah. So, all you do is pay the three to untap the Basalt Monolith. And then pay the three from Basalt Monolith now to cast a spell out of your hand.
Yeah, you're turning Vol's three mana can't be used to cast spells from your hand into an artifact that can then tap for that.
It can be a little awkward because if Vol can tap for only five mana, then you go Basalt Monolith, I got two floating, tap it, get three that I can use to cast spells.
Yeah, now you have these two separate mana pools to deal with.
Yeah, and sometimes you're like, oh, tap a land, add the two floating and the one land on top, but now it's colorless. Doubling Cube's another way to kind of use this mana into something that can be used. So Doubling Cube will unrestrict the mana. There's lands that do this. Cascading Cataracts.
Yep.
This is a pretty cool one.
Just five mana to tap it to add five mana, any combination of colors to your mana pool.
So you take two of your lands, you take Vol, you tap the Cascading Cataracts, you get five mana on the other end and any combination of colors that's usable for anything.
And in this deck, as you saw in Game Nights, you actually need a lot of blue. So if you can tap a land and have it add five blue, that's actually a really big game.
Yep. Treasure Vault is a pretty cool one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a colorless land that taps for colorless, or you can pay XX and tap and sack the Treasure Vault and create X treasure tokens.
Right, so if Vol is at like six mana, you can tap it and you can just create three treasures. Yeah, but probably going to be a lot more in the end game when you end up actually using the Treasure Vault.
Yeah, and again, you saw this on the Game Nights episode. It's not uncommon for Vol to be tapping for, you know, and you'd have 40 mana available for it through a Doubling Cube into a Treasure Vault. And again, like Jimmy said, you want blue. So on the other end, you're like, I create 50 treasure tokens. That's worth sacking your land for. Then, of course, it's an artifact deck, so we do want to do the Artifactocrats things. Mirror Retriever, Scrap Trawler, just all those artifacts that get artifacts back from your graveyard so you can replay them, resack them.
Yeah, you know, I like this next one, which is because you can't cast spells out of your hand, find other ways to get spells cast. So the Reality Chip is one that allows you to play cards from the top of your library. Same with Mystic Forge.
Yeah, that's not casting out of your hand, so Vol can use that. And those are also artifacts that can be sacked to Clancrafter if you need to. So I like that, like, dual usage. Foretell is also not, when you foretell the thing, it's not casting out of your hand.
Oh, right, you're paying two and you're exiling it. Yeah. So. Interesting.
And actually, when you cast it out of Foretell, you're not casting out of your hand either. Right. So I really like Depart the Realm, and I actually think this card's generally underrated, but good in Val, which is one in a blue, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. So it's kind of Chain of Vapors for one extra mana.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can foretell it for two, and then pay one blue to cast it out of Foretell. And one thing I've found is you foretell a card and you're in blue, they'll usually assume that it is Mystic Reflection or one of those other cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the one, what's the one that gets all your stuff back if it died?
The
white one, if you're in white. So you can really, like, play a card that will be useful to you because, you know, everybody, you play Chain of Vapors and stuff like that.
Oh, bouncing something is really great.
Especially non-land permanent, right? Mm-hmm. Any permanent type can just stop a combo. But they also have to play around a card that you didn't actually play.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Ravenform is also a pretty good one because it's one blue on the other end. So again, you're paying Val, the two from Val to foretell it. And then later you're getting the card for cheaper. So it's kind of working that way.
Yep.
Flashback, another way to cast things that aren't... casting them out of hand so you can use Val's mana for it.
Oh, right. Like, if you're going to Snapcaster out something, then you're going to pay for that spell from Flashback because it's coming from your graveyard, not your hand.
Yeah, Echo of Aeons is a really good one because this is a deck that's going to sort of, like, fill its graveyard up by sacking stuff and doing things and shuffling them back in and kind of getting that train rolling again could be nice, so Flashback's helpful.
Pretty good. You can also pay activate abilities on cards like Cycling, so Nimble Obstructionist, Shark Typhoon are also ways for Val to just pump a bunch of mana into something.
Right, because you're not casting them, you're cycling them.
Yeah, yeah.
Channels,
yeah.
The same thing, right? So Otawara, Soaring City. I got it on the third try.
Channels for three in the blue, technically two in the blue if you have your Val out, but that is, again, something it can pay for.
Yep. So that is another bounce spell that Val can cast,
yep,
quote unquote. Madness doesn't count as casting the spell from your hand because you discard it first, goes into exile. And there, you know, you're in blue and there are a number of ways to sort of loot things. I have Legislator in there, second, some other stuff. So Welcome to the Fold or something like that is a good way.
Actually, Madness would be really good with my Durnan deck too because it's got red in it and you're trying to discard cards in exile. Yeah,
yeah. And then, of course, you can just pump Vol's toughness with, you know, other cards to make it her tap for more mana. So there's a lot of zero cast shield cards like Cathar's Shield.
Yep.
They're all three to equip, but they give plus zero, plus three. The good thing is Vol can pay for the equip.
Mm-hmm.
So you play Cathar's Shield, tap Vol, equip it. Next turn, she's tapping for six.
Six, wow.
I found that generally to be not worth it, honestly. But
it's too slow.
It is a zero. Also, worst case scenario, a zero cost artifact you can draw a card with Clancrafter, mm-hmm, too. So mm-hmm. when it's bad, you can cycle away. So I think I only ended up with like one of them in the deck.
Okay.
A card I really like is Commander's Plate, though.
Yeah, one mana equipped creature gets +3/+3 and has protection from each color that's not your color's commander identity. So that's four colors of protection.
And it only costs three to equip to a commander. So this is a very good version of Cathar's Shield where it's one rather than zero. Equip cost is the same, gives the same toughness boost, but protects it too.
Yeah, from four different colors.
I found I have a much better chance to win games where I've cast Commander Plate than when I haven't.
Yep.
And then, of course, Vol is really good for activated abilities or triggered abilities, paying for that. So one of the ways the decks normally can win is Memnarch.
Ugh, yeah.
So Memnarch, yeah, seven mana for a 4/5, but you can pay one blue and target permanent becomes an artifact in addition to its other types, and then three and a blue to gain control of target artifact. And I've found that, you know, there's pretty good chance, especially with treasure vaults and other things, to just steal everything on the board once you're creating enough mana.
You doubling cube, and then you're just off to the races.
And you're like, yeah, I have 82 mana to work with. I turn all your lands into artifacts, I steal them all, and then I'll take all the rest of the stuff too.
Gross.
Urza. This is not a Winter Orb Urza deck, but Urza is... It's interesting because Urza's really good in the deck because you have a lot of artifacts. You may as well tap them for mana and they create blue mana.
Mm-hmm.
But also that activated ability.
Yeah, five, shuffle your library, then exile the top card until end of turn. You may play that card without paying its mana cost. So there will be times when you can just do this for one tap easily. Yeah,
I'll just do this 20 times. So Animation Module I actually have found to be one of the best cards in the deck too. And this is interesting. So it's one mana for an artifact. Whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are placed on a permanent you control, you may pay one. If you do, create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token. And then you can pay three and choose a counter on target permanent and give that permanent another counter of that kind. That doesn't matter. That first part, because mm-hmm. Clancrafter puts a 1/1 counter onto Vol,
you
can pay the one and create an artifact that you can then sack and put the plus. So what you have these turns where you go, okay, sack this, mm-hmm. pay one.
Get the counter,
get the draw card, get another artifact, sack it. Pay the one, sack it, pay the one. And before you know, you do Vol at the end and you go tap Vol for, you know, nine. Do that like three more times.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. So, yeah, can be pretty, pretty powerful.
Yeah, you can also just float the mana into your mana pool while you're doing this because you can just sort of pay from that.
And then, of course, you want to untap Vol, the untap shenanigans, so that you can use her more often. And this, once Vol can tap for 10, it's pretty crazy to just even untap her one time.
Mm-hmm.
So 1,000-year Elixir, Minamo School at Water's Edge is really
good.
So
good, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a new card from Baldur's Gate, which is called Patriarch's Seal.
Three mana, tap to add mana, one mana of any color, but pay one, untap, and then tap it, untap target legendary creature you control.
Yeah.
So similar to Minamo, but colorless and only on creatures.
And pretty good. Like three mana rocks, we don't generally like them, but the fact that, like, hey, I can use it for mana, and then eventually I use it on Vol to make tons of mana.
Right.
And then, of course, the sort of best card in the deck is Staff of Domination, which is just very easy to go infinite if that's what you want.
It wins the game.
With Vol, as long as Vol's tapping for, what is it, six?
Yeah.
You just tap and untap Vol infinite times to create infinite mana. It's all restricted mana, but then you draw all your deck with Staff of Domination. All you got to do is get a Basalt Monolith or something out, and then
good enough.
Yeah,
that's how you win the game. Okay, nice. So very Josh decks, I would say, compared to very Jimmy decks. But
we are what we are, right?
Yeah, Jimmy? We are what we are, and hopefully you can find something in between that matches you. So let us know, of course, what you're going to build around. But let's talk quickly about backgrounds in the 99. So I'm sure a lot of you are wondering, hey, I've seen these backgrounds. Maybe they'll work in the deck I want to play. So let's see if there are any that seem good enough to run inside the deck and not just sort of in the command zone with your commander.
Yeah, because there's definitely going to be the temptation, I think, to run the backgrounds in the 99. I think for the most part, they're not that great, but there are a few I think I could see
playing. Yeah, interesting at least. Dungeon Delver is the obvious one. It's one in the blue. Commander creatures you own have room abilities of dungeons you own trigger an additional time. If you're playing a dungeon deck, you need all the help you can get, so I could definitely see Dungeon Delver just being in the 99 of like Sephiroth or whatever it is.
Yeah, and it's only two mana.
Yeah.
So that's pretty efficient, and most dungeon decks are their commanders helping with the dungeon part, so you need the commander out, so that makes sense.
Yeah. I like Candlekeep Sage. It's two in the blue. Commander creatures you own have when this creature enters or leaves the battlefield, draw a card. So in Brago, if you play Candlekeep Sage and have Brago out, if Brago flickers himself out and back in, you're going to draw two cards off of that. So I could see that being in a deck where you're playing your Ephemerates or doing whatever it is. But if your commander isn't trying to flicker itself, then this is not good.
Yeah, I don't think it's efficient enough, and what we found when we did our stats, what was a couple years ago now, was that you actually don't recast your commanders that often.
Yeah, so it has to be a heavy flicker deck, and specifically the commander being flickered.
Yeah, even like a Rogue Rock deck, I don't know if I had blue, I would play this because you're just unlikely to cast the Rogue Rock for the third time. And two and a blue draw one card, not that great. I guess if you have partners, though, so maybe Rogue Rock paired with something else in low CMC, because you cast both, maybe you get three total cards out of this.
Rogue Rock,
I think
three mana for three
cards, I would play it at that point. Folk Hero. One in a white, we talked about this earlier. Whenever you cast a spell that shares a creature type with this creature, your commander, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have partners or you're in just a dedicated tribal deck, this could go in the 99.
Yeah, it's once each turn, which kind of sucks, but you could draw three, four cards off it, maybe.
It's only two mana, so I think if you draw two cards, you're happy.
Yeah, notably, everything we talk about here is two or three mana, so the more it costs, I think also we're like, ugh. Next up is Guild Artisan. One in a red, command creatures you own have whenever this creature attacks a player. If no opponent has more life than that player, you create two treasure tokens. So this is in a mono red deck, this is technically ramp.
Yeah. I think you have to have, again, commander that you know is going to be able to and want to attack.
Yeah.
But if you get, six treasure tokens off this total, I think you're pretty happy.
Yeah, and this also works later on in the game. You can cast this for two and get that mana back. It is specific that you have to attack a creature that, or an opponent that has no more life. Sorry. If no opponent has more life than that player.
So somebody who's weird, either has the most life or is tied for the most life.
Yeah. And then the last one is Shameless Charlatan. This was just, I don't know if this works in any deck because it seems bad, but also good at the same time. One in the blue, commander creatures you own have two in the blue. This creature becomes a copy of another target creature. So you can turn your commander into a clone of something else. However, it will never be able to transform back into itself.
It doesn't...
It keeps the ability, but when your commander transforms into something else, it no longer can go, oh, wait, I'm going to become my commander again.
Oh, right, because it can't see itself.
It can't see itself, unless someone else has your commander on the battlefield. So I don't know what deck this goes in, but if you do have a deck that wants to be copying things and doesn't care if the commander's ability is not there, right? It could be a hidden commander deck or something.
What decks are those?
I don't know. Maybe a Chromat deck could run Shameless Charlatan because you just want to change Chromat into something else. Who knows?
Sure.
But because I could see similarities to Mirage Mirror.
I wish it said non-land permanent.
Right.
Because then it would be way better.
Yeah.
Because I would often be like,
non-land permanent. Yeah, I'll take a Great Henge.
Yeah, exactly. I would often want to turn my commander into that. But yeah, I don't know. Usually your deck's built around your commander and you don't want to change it into something else.
Yeah. At least you can do another targeted creature. It's not a one in opponent control. So you could do it on your own. Yeah. So there is something there. I just don't know what it is.
I just want to say be cautious because remember that these cards only work if your commander is also on the battlefield.
Yep.
You cannot put this on another creature you control or something. So I'd say for most decks, I wouldn't consider putting any backgrounds in there.
Doesn't seem to be worth it. But if you find something interesting, let us know.
All right. Backgrounds, final thoughts. What do you think of the mechanic, Jimmy?
I really like, again, the sub-ecosystems. It allows for control. It allows for creativity without breaking the format, without also doing things like Thrasios and Vile Smasher or Thrasios and whatever, right? I like the fact that they're monocolored. And it's good because I think if you are a player that has a very specific want or you want to build something really specific, this allows you to do it without having to just wait for the commander that matches it. Now, hopefully, you can piece the pieces together and figure out a way to make it for yourself.
Yeah, I would say there's kind of two downsides to, anything that's in the partners, friends forever, background, space. One of them is that having an extra card available in your command zone, which is basically like having a ninth card in your opening hand, is just inherently powerful. Something we learn from partners.
Yep.
Just another option, another thing.
Free card drop, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure how this is going to pan out because we didn't actually talk about this much. You did a little bit. The fact that it's an enchantment now that sits in your command zone, And that is the most difficult permanent type to remove.
Yeah, some colors just can't remove it.
Yeah, so that's a little scary. They are tied directly to the commander, which has tried to keep it in check a little bit. But, you know, the fact that they don't attach to it, so they don't die when you kill the commander.
Yeah.
These are all worries. You know, Enchantress decks, maybe do they get a little bit better just from the ability? I don't know, because I don't know that there's a combination where I'd rather run, you know,
that instead of, yeah,
instead of one of the Enchantress commanders.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's just, I think, the worries and the downside. The upsides, I think, is, like you said, lots and lots of opportunities for new, you know, customizable, unique deck builds.
Super unique. I'm really interested, because when I look through it, I was just looking for the ones that made sense.
Yeah.
But I can't wait for the players that go and find the combos that don't make sense and then try to do something really interesting from that.
Yeah, if you're in this sort of hipstery, you know, like Murph likes to build decks that are not like anybody else has.
Yeah, Jordan wants to make a Volo deck with Folk Hero, which doesn't seem like it would make sense. Around.
But I think with Changelings and stuff, it totally would.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of space here that's not going to be explored. You know, partners are like that too. I think there's a lot of partner combinations just nobody's ever really tried. And by nobody, I mean like nobody we're aware of or that you've ever seen, because they're so off the beaten path.
Not very common, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's an upside. And I do think that it seems like the design team was very careful with these.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were aware of, I think, the problems, and they made these narrow. Like, think of Haunted One. It only applies to creatures that also share a creature type with it. And then they were like, well, giving it on dying is actually scary, so let's just say it until only end of turn. You know what I mean? Like, they were careful. They're all monocolored, like you said. So
yeah, they spend a lot of time, you can tell, designing them to make sure they don't get busted out the gate.
Yeah.
It's good.
They're pretty narrow. But there's always, with this many combinations, there's always the chance that there's just something that was overlooked. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Question, do we hope that they bring back background specifically someday? Because I feel like there is space to maneuver here where they can add some new backgrounds in without it breaking everything apart, because they are very careful in not making it too powerful to begin with.
Yeah, we did one more round of partners, and partners are even more possibility, because every partner you add can work with every other partner. So let's say they did another batch of 30 backgrounds and 30
creatures.
Choose a background.
Yeah.
I think if they stuck to monocolored, there'll be a lot of temptation to go to like dual colored or something to make it different.
Oh my gosh.
But that seems very scary. Yeah,
very scary.
Then I think you could probably do one more batch, and then you've got 2,000 possible combinations. But I think partner commanders, I mean, what's 64 times 63? It's like 4,000.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So they wouldn't even be up to the number of combinations possible with partners. They'd be at like 2,000. So I think that's probably safe to do it one more time. Do I want them to bring it back? I don't know if I care particularly.
Yeah. I think as long as they keep experimenting with this idea, we should be fine. Because there are more interesting ways. I like Friends Forever, I think, is great. There's only like, what, 7 cards that can play with each other there. And so you know the combinations. They're all there. It's right at the right power level. So I think when they have to build it into a set with limited and stuff, it makes it a little more difficult. So I would be interested to see if they do this again, but maybe a little more specialized.
All right. That's going to wrap up our discussion, our breakdown of the backgrounds. To the listeners, what new background pairing are you the most excited to build? What sweet tech do you have for our community? We were only able to cover 3 of each of our favorites. There
are
took
like an hour and a half. Yeah.
There are 954 combinations remaining. If you can fill in some of those gaps about your cool ideas for some kind of background pairing, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, and of course, if you want to just pick up those backgrounds cards, there's also special versions like they did with the other Commander Legends set. So you can get the best looking cards in the world at channelfireball.com/command. They have an amazing marketplace. You're shopping from local game stores around the country. You're supporting them in this time when, you know, we need to bring love back to our local game stores. And they're also going to give you the best price, great customer service. They're WPN certified stores. So they know what they're doing. They know how to grade their cards and how to ship them out to you, the buyer. So again, customer always comes first. Channelfireball.com/command, or just enter promo code command at checkout. You're going to buy those cards anyway. Help us out while you do it.
And then when you get those cards, you want to keep them in the best pristine condition.
Bing.
Jimmy and I trust Ultra Pro products for our own collections. All my decks are in Eclipse sleeves. They're all in Ultra Pro deck boxes. I only play on Ultra Pro playmats. Ultra Pro makes awesome dice. I pretty much only have Ultra Pro dice now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make wall scrolls to put into your game room. Ultra Pro really has you covered. Shop.ultrapro.com/command is our affiliate link. One thing, we haven't had an affiliate link for very long. Mm-hmm. And one big advantage of it is that if a Magic product comes out, it goes into all the LGSs and you know it's there. But Ultra Pro doesn't have that same distribution pipeline. And they also, like, you know, sometimes, I don't know, if you want the Racto sleeves, they might just be sold out at your LGS. That happens all the time. So being able to go directly to the source with our affiliate link, again, shop.ultrapro.com/command, does allow you to find stuff that were maybe hard to find in the past. And if you build a commander and it's like Volo or something and you want that playmat, you really want that playmat, but if it's hard to find, that can be a little bit frustrating. So yeah, shop.ultrapro.com/command.
And they have great sales all the time. No joke. You might find something there.
They have inventory that they're just like, listen, we want to get this out of here, right? Because it's a little bit older or whatever. And that's often stuff that you're like, yeah, I want that stuff at that price or whatever.
I picked up a bunch of stuff at just straight up 50% off. And I was like, wow, this is such a good deal. So if you're looking to build out the collection or even to start organizing your cards, Ultra Pro's got you covered.
And then one last plug for our Kickstarter for our brand new playmat. It is called Before the Storm.
It's definitely not bland.
It's brand. Before the Storm. Beautiful artwork. It is the Year of the Tiger, so it's themed around that.
Yes, pick it up now. Fiona Shea is the artist. She did an incredible job with this. It's different than our other playmats too.
Yeah.
We're typically at the end of a war with skulls lying around or dragons destroying a building. This one is much more serene and calm, but it still has that really sort of epic quality to it. And it pops right off the playmat. Ultra Pro made it. So you have to check out the Kickstarter right now. It's only going to be going for a limited time. When it's over, you will never, ever, ever, ever be able to buy this again. We're not kidding.
All right. It's been a little bit of a long episode, but we're still going to do an end step because something kind of exciting has come out that we want to talk about. Our good buddy, friend of the show, Game Night, Post Malone came out with his new album called 12 Karat Toothache. I don't know about you, Jimmy. I've basically had it on repeat like the entire weekend.
Yeah, me too. And it's been, for him, it's been so long working on this album too. I know that he's been doing it, what, like 4 years now?
Almost 4 years.
So it's an incredible accomplishment. The album itself is great. There are so many songs on it that are, you know, of an entire range of his career, it almost feels like. And every song has a lot of heart to it too, which is always something you can expect from Posty.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about it the most. It's like super honest and it's super like inside his head. You can hear his journey, his struggle with all kinds of things. Like he obviously struggles with the fame and what that's done to his life, which I find pretty interesting. I mean, obviously we know him, so some of those themes maybe come out a little bit more. But I think it's like, it's maybe not what you would expect from him. And I think a lot of people get the wrong idea about what his music sounds like just by looking at him.
Yeah. And, or they hear one song and they're like, that's it. But no, he has an incredible range and he's such a musician to that degree that every one of his songs, you can feel the musicianship coming through too.
Yeah. You can really feel that he spent a long time on this album and I think he wanted to create something that was like true and not, he's not just trying to create hits or anything like that. Like he's telling stuff from his heart. He's telling his perspective and his story. And I
and you wrote a song about this. It's called I Like You.
Oh man, that song's gonna be such a huge hit. That's the one like real poppy song that's like super catchy. You can sing along
Doja
with it.
Cat's on it. Yeah, it's a really good song.
I really like the cue Lemon Tree, which is
Lemon Tree's
definitely not gonna be a hit because it's not like a poppy catchy song, but I really like it. Yeah. What's your favorite track?
I think Lemon Tree is one of my favorite tracks. Yeah, because it's just, every time I listen to it, I'm like surprised by it. Each time I'm like, oh, there's a section I didn't really hear that last time that I like that a lot. Wow.
Yeah, you really get to hear inside of his head a little bit and relate to it. Yeah.
Yeah. 12 Karat Toothache. You can stream it everywhere. You can also buy physical copies. But yeah, support Posty. And even if you just listen and watch a couple of music videos, see if it's for you.
There's Apple Music, Spotify, you can find it everywhere. I mean, if you haven't heard about it, you must be under a rock because he's everywhere lately.
Yeah. You must be under a 12 Karat rock.
If you're lucky. All right. Big thanks to our amazing team here at the Command Zone, Damon Lenz, Shauna Gillis, Arthur Meadowcroft, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Greg Manchette, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Sam Waldo, Gaurav Galati, Truck Tie, Jamie Block, Mitch Trafford, and Evan Limburger.
Special thanks, Jeffrey Palmer. He does the Living Card animations that start our show on our YouTube channel. You can also find them online on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
And go build some background commanders.
Yeah, let us know about them.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
For your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
The
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.